started. Kathy called me yesterday and asked me if Debbie had asked me to...
Hey, quit ratting me out.
Okay, and the answer was no. Anyway, so I found out. But, okay, you want to open up in prayer, honey?
Sure. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you live.
Amen.
And that you live in us, Lord. And we're just so grateful for your sacrifice, Father. We just honor and thank you, Father, for giving your life for us. And Lord, raising from the dead, you have power over death. And we just lift you and glorify your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, she said I could go to 12:12 or do something else, and I thought that we'd do something else since it's Resurrection Day. I actually was reading Philippians 3:13, and I think that in the King James it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Now, what I want to do is have us go back to the memory when we first got saved. I bet, without knowing any of you guys, that when you first got saved, there wasn't hardly anything on this earth that could stop you from telling somebody about the joy of the Lord. Is that right?
True.
Yep. I mean, you were. I went to a basketball court, which I was there every day. And at that time, we were having like a youth revival at church. And I invited this guy to church on a Thursday, and he went forth and got saved. Now, you know, Uncle Paul, that's Kurt's dad, used to tell me, he said, you know, don't quench the Spirit. Don't let the Spirit of God quench you. Let it burn into you. You know, just let it be the motivator of everything you do. Well, I learned real quick. First of all, what I learned is I didn't know everything. You know, sometimes in our life we think we do. We know everything. But that's what young and dumb is. But anyway, but the facts are, my mom was really a great teacher for me. She witnessed the fact that even in the Lord, I was getting a big head. I'm just telling you the way I would describe it. So she quoted a scripture to me, "Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall." And she seen that out of my mouth, I was talking about a lot of stuff. So she quoted a scripture to me, "Boast not of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And of course, at the time she's saying it, I got to believe these are words of God. These are the words. Of course, later on I went and looked them all up and made sure enough they were. I shouldn't have been surprised by that. But I'll tell you what. I remember when we were at camp and the Lord gave me a word that week to a guy that had a lot to do with camp. And, I mean, it was like... "You're full of dirt." That was the word that he gave me to tell the guy. And I'm going, okay, I'm looking for a place. Not a way out, but I'm looking for a place I can do it in private. And even the word goes against that. You don't do that in private. Because if you're going to have somebody restored, it's best that the Holy Spirit restore them, just like he restores us. Because if the Holy Spirit does it, they will remain that way. Well, anyway. And... he immediately went to the altar and started repenting. I don't know what dirt was. I didn't need to know. Anybody need to know what dirt is? We pretty well know what dirt is in our life. It's maybe pointing somebody in the wrong direction. Maybe giving them a private word. Maybe whatever it is. I didn't need to know it. But that's one of the very few ones I remember. And God's used me to prophesy quite a bit. But I don't ever remember. I mean, other than that one. And I think that was the first time I ever did it. And I should tell you, I believe that becomes easier in Christ as you become obedient in the Spirit. But anyway, last night, here I'm sitting there. "I have put on the garment of praise. I have put on the garment of praise, and the spirit of heaviness shall fall from me. I have put on the garment of praise. Mm-hmm. And as I was singing that, the Lord was saying, you know, that garment's me. Mm-hmm. He said, when you put on me, heaviness shall fall from thee. Mm-hmm. And I think that this scripture here, and I know this is Paul speaking, but I actually believe this is God speaking here in Philippians. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I think as the body of Christ grows, I think we have been apprehended to the fact that we don't let stuff bother us no more. We kind of let it go past us. You know, I was telling Buddy a while ago, I said, I think we get more like Joseph, where it said, yeah, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. We see whose actually hands it comes from. You know, God, everything he's planted, he gives growth to everything he's planted. Mm-hmm. And the thing that he's given growth most to of all is to us. And, you know, we're supposed to be, Brother Eddie used to say this, and I thought, taste me and see that I'm good. Well, you know, you bite into some people, you're going to get punched or whatever. But the truth is, we're talking about biting, taste me, taste my life and see that it is good. We're talking about Christ. And I'll understand that. I mean, you can take a lot when you're in Christ. Now, if we'll admit it, be honest with each other, which we should always be that way. When it's not in Christ, we're not too good with it. We don't, you know, it's not a developmental stage. It's going into the old man stage. You know, the one that would fight and struggle and say, I got to have my way. It's my way or the highway. Well, actually, you know what? Now listen to that. It's my way or the highway. Could we take that same philosophy with God, even though he gives us choices? Say, if it's not his way, it's probably not going to grow. It's probably not going to bring forth life. Let's put it that way. And I think we have life abundantly within us. I mean, for the life of me, I don't want to say we put it off. But, you know, I believe we have eternal life right here. Right here. I mean, in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit blesses us life. Well, we can have the joy of the Lord right now. We don't have to pass from this life to another to have the joy of the Lord.
No, but they say in his presence is full.
Resurrection Day.
And they look at me like I was, and I go like, they say, you mean Easter, don't you? I said, actually, he did create the Easter bunny. Well, he created all things, right? All things were made by him and for him. But, I mean, that's, you know, I don't mean to be mean to people, but
no,
we ought to do it right. I mean, you know. But, well, anyway, what I was going to say to you here, and as soon as I get back to it real quick, Philippians 3, if I find it again. Yeah, 3. I think there's a lot of things we can say that we haven't apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, you know, I know probably too many people that can't let go of behind. They still hold on to the past. If you're living today, your best days are ahead of us. They're ahead of us. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. I mean, God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I remember telling people that God performed miracles. And I've heard pastors say this, that them days are over. Well, them days can't be over because he changes not. Did he do a miracle yesterday? Yes. Did he do one today? Yes. Will he do one tomorrow? I believe yes. The greatest miracle I ever seen was Jesus saving me. I mean, that's really how I took it. And then I remember that night being in the guy's dorm downstairs. There was a bunch of talking and stuff like that. But God let me hear one voice, and it was Bob Bingham Jr. say, hey guys, calm down. Cly got saved tonight. So he allowed a person to witness what happened to me. And see, I think that's really something. And I know Donna Roach, she, her name wasn't Roach then, it was Donna, what was her name?
Wilkerson.
Wilkerson got saved that night. I remember that. And I remember, now listen to this, you think God ain't in control? My mom's basically a shut-in back then. And her brother comes to camp, and he brings her to camp. And I don't even know she's there. And I'm her baby. And she gets to see her baby get saved. Mm-hmm. Well, I've had babies. There's no greater thing.
Yeah.
I remember Josh getting baptized. And I think I was 31 then. And I told Debbie, if I don't live another day, I said, I'm okay. I feel all right. Can't you see God laughing at me? I got 4 grandsons. So God knows about what's before us. He already, you know, what's going to happen. But I just think that we can be apprehended for those things that are before us if we'll grab hold of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people, I think, the Bible says if we have hope in this life only, we're most miserable. Well, God has brought that to me so many times that when I've seen people in misery, he said, they don't have any other hope. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to present, there's a greater hope than this world. The one that created it's a greater hope. I said, the one that keeps it, sustains it. You know, that's the one that lives within it. But I woke up singing that song, man.
Yes.
I'm thinking, man, oh man. I don't know what song was it you tried to sing last week and we didn't know the words?
The one, Hosanna.
What was it? In the highest?
Well, I sort of knew the words, but I didn't know it well enough to sing it.
Debbie told me it's probably in those paperback books that we got.
Well, yeah, it's probably
it was
not
Hosanna,
the song.
Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. I can't, like I said, I can't remember all the words, but we used to sing it.
I remember us singing it.
Yeah, we used to sing it.
In Elmwood. Yeah.
Yeah. I hadn't necessarily planned on singing that, you know, it just it just popped up.
Yeah.
You know.
What did we end up singing? Was it one that Charlene knew?
The one you sang earlier.
Put on the garment of praise.
Put on the garment of praise, yeah.
Spirit of heaviness shall fall from me. I remember Brother Eddie singing that, man. Just he'd start right out.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd start singing. But you know what? There's a lot of things that we get to sing about. Mm-hmm. What he changed my morning into dancing
thou
for me.
Turned my morning into dancing,
yes,
for me. That I put off
that
my
I
sack
put
cloth.
Off my sackcloth.
Right.
And girded me with gladness.
Yes.
Man, oh man, oh man. I've seen, and then I remember Bill Britton up on the platform, he wouldn't be preaching yet, but he'd be singing, man. He'd just be like, oh, man. You know what? Like, what did he call it? He called it a something first. Was it first fruits or like we were an army? I remember, you remember Huey Hubbard, Lonnie's dad? Older guy, an older board member. We had, Bill Britton was there that week, and we had his daughter, which was, I can't remember her name. Well, anyway, she brought her husband, and he was a leader of a rock and roll band.
Oh, yeah.
That was saved. Petra, the name of them. And they were in there singing, and I'm not kidding, they had an altar call, and it looked like there was about, back then, about 100 kids down front just raising their hands. And Hubbard come up to me, and he goes like, hey, you! I'm in the back behind the curtain. I go, yeah. He said, what's going on in there? I looked in there and I said, looks like the Spirit's moving to me. Of course, he wanted to question what the Spirit was. But the whole thing is, you know, whatever it takes, God can use whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, because I always look at kids, I believe God can use a three-year-old or he used a baby out here with her heart and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He can use whatever he wants to. Why? Because he made it all. I mean,
her name was Becky and Phil.
Phil, that's right.
I read a cassette tape somewhere.
That's right.
Phil on it, Becky. And he, and they were, when they sang in prayer, it was anointed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, Becky and Phil.
I was talking to, I think it might have been Debbie, I was telling her, I said, remember when we used to, the youth group, actually, a lot of them got involved in the mission. And there at the end, it was like Dell and me were going down, and he'd speak one time, and I would lead singing, and then the next time he would lead singing, and I would speak. And he pulled one on me while we were down there. He got up, and it was his turn to lead singing. He said, okay, let's do Amazing Grace. He did one verse of it, sit down, said, it's all yours, Clyde. and I said, oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. See, I was down there, and I thought it was neat. I was down there when Oscar and them were all going down there, and we were in the back room, we were praying, and God had not given Oscar a thing, right? He had not given him a thing, and he was the speaker, not giving him nothing. Well, was it Carl Marcotte that came in on us? He was the controller of the gospel, and he came in, well, he said, I've never had this ever happen to me. He said, well, we don't have anybody out there. Oscar said, that's why he didn't give me anything. He knew there wasn't going to be anybody, right? Mm-hmm. I think we prayed and went home.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is to see the living God exist in us at a level where we can understand it and we're not lost. It's okay. That's okay. I mean, he took it as calm as could be. Like, that's how it's supposed to be.
But the thing about, excuse me, the thing about that situation was, I feel like everything that happens when you're in the Lord is a teachable moment. And what God was teaching me was, is that I had made a commitment to go down there, because somebody had asked me to speak down there. I had made a commitment. This was before I was overseeing the mission for a while, because Ernie was overseeing it for years, and then Ernie kind of backed off, you know, and he, anyways, so I ended up overseeing it for a few years there, but I would always ask other people to speak a lot, but what the Lord was teaching me was that, son, he was teaching me, I just want you to trust me. Because, you know, I had notes from other times when I'd spoke that I could have pulled up some notes, but I really don't usually try to do that. I just wait until the Lord gives me something, you know, and then go with that. And he hadn't given me anything. And I had pulled out some notes and stuck them in my Bible and thought, well, you know.
Right.
You know, I mean, because you get feeling insecure when God doesn't give you something. And all that really did, I didn't feel disappointed or anything like that. It was just God's way of letting me know that just trust me. You know, if you're supposed to speak, I'll give you something. If you're not, you won't get anything, you know. And, you know, the worship and everything was fine when we were in the back room. We were singing, and I felt like the Spirit of the Lord was there.
Right.
It was a good anointing. But when he come back there and said, this has never happened before, Carl Marcotte, he was director of the mission. He said, there's nobody out there. I just smiled and laughed because I thought, Lord, I know what you're doing. You know, you're just teaching me that, you know, you're in control of this thing. And you didn't give me anything because you knew there wasn't going to be nobody here. But yet we fulfilled our commitment to going down there. And sometimes we don't always have to understand what's happening, but what we do have to understand is that if we've committed to something, we need to be faithful in what we've committed to do, you know. And, you know, it's like teaching Sunday school in here sometimes. You might come in here and there might be one person in here, or there might be five, or it might be 10, or whatever God brings in. But it's just as important that you fulfill your commitment if there's just one sitting in here as it is if there's 10 or 20 or whatever would happen to be here. You know, he left the 99 and went after the one.
Right.
You know, so, you know.
Well, he always teaches us. I think it was it President Carter that says about valuing the person that's in front of you, that he's put in front of you?
Yeah, I read the Jimmy Carter book one time, and he was, Jimmy Carter taught Sunday school in Plains, Georgia every Sunday. He might still do it, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they said this, hundreds and hundreds of people would show up for his Sunday school class. And he had this Hispanic friend who was a missionary. And he said the guy was just extremely successful in leading people to the Lord. And he asked him one time what was his secret, you know, like, you know, what was his big secret of leading people to the Lord and all this. And he basically said, I love the one that's in front of me.
And, that's fantastic.
And hey, that's what we're to do. Love the one that's in front of us, you know.
Okay. Now, Imogene sent us a bunch of stuff with Kurt and Niece. I want to tell you one of the things. You guys might have heard this before. But Billy Graham had gone into this town, and he needed to send a telegram, and he didn't know where the post office was. Anybody heard it yet?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So he sees this little boy, and he says, excuse me, can you tell me where the post office is? So he told him where the post office is. And after he told him where it was, Billy Graham looked at him. He said, hey, you know where the Baptist church is? He goes, yeah. He said, well, I'm going to preach there tonight. He said, and I'm going to talk about how to get to heaven. He said, you might want to come. And the little kid sat there and went, I don't think so. He said, why not? He said, sir, you don't even know where the post office is. Anyway, I thought that was cute.
Yeah. But anyway. Kid.
And that's kids, that's right. Kids do the funniest things, the hardest things.
Yes.
You know, I don't know what it is, but you don't know what God wants out of you. I'm thinking about a guy that I used to work with. You don't know what God wants out of you until he uses somebody else to get it. I had a guy down at work tell me one time, right out of the clear, I mean, there was nobody around, but he said, I intimidated him. And you know what? God broke me down immediately, and I started crying. Because I said, well, I want to apologize to you, because there's no way I was set here to intimidate you. And he started crying with me. You know, we almost forgot what we were talking about. Because he ended up hugging me and embracing me. And he apologized. I said, oh, don't apologize. Because I said, you needed to say that to me and I needed to hear it. But you also needed to see my tears. You needed to realize that's not what I'm here for. And you know, a lot of times, you know, people, my sister was one of them. She said, I don't want to cry in front of anybody. And I'd be like this, well, it's actually not what you want. What's God want? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if you might not have been here, but when Pat's graduation was here, my wife, I got my wife to get up because my brother wasn't going to speak. He said, I can't do it. I said, okay. So I asked my wife, I said, I need you to speak at Pat's thing. And she got up and she said something. And I think she was like, not the last one, I was the last one, but the one before me. But she had heard, now listen to this, Mark spoke and said, Pat wasn't an always easy person to get along with. Well, anyway, and which was true. I mean, mm-hmm. And her husband's sitting there and he goes, been married to her 62 years, you ought to know. Well, anyway, But the whole thing was, there's so many people out there that need to hear that. That it kind of brought a little lighting thing to it, you know, laughter and stuff like that. But then Debbie says, well, hey, she said, I hate to say this, but she said, I agree with Mark. She wasn't the easiest person to talk to. But under that not being so easy, was a very thankful person. Mm-hmm. And a humble person. Yeah. A lot of people, they get caught up and they're representing of their self, when the only person we really need to get caught up and represent is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Because the more we see him, the more the people will see him in us.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I think it goes back to what the Lord been dealing with me all night. That I be single, the body be full of light. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. Him and God were single eye. And for us to be his representative, we need to learn to be single in our vision, in our eye.
Right.
So the body, you do know that we're just part of the body, but we get to be part of the body. And you know what I'm really thankful for? We get to be the living part of the body, a functioning part of the body. That when God shows us something, we've been taught through many people that us take somebody to witness what we're going to say, what the Lord has given us to say. Because we want them to grow up. Oscar cracks me up when he says, God has sent me here to help the people grow up. And that's not grow up in stature, that's to grow up in Christ.
Yes.
I mean, how many times have you been broken over the years with Christ breaking you that you haven't realized this is part of a growing process?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime your heart breaks, I get to grow up. But you know what? As you accept that as from the Lord, you help other people grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Because their acceptance becomes an open book. Because we're not hiding the truth. We're walking in it. We get to walk. But I guess that's all I need to say.
Mm-hmm. You know, talking about your eye being single, when I first got saved, I remember being down in the basement at my mom's house and in one corner where I prayed, and like where me and Betty would pray together down the basement. And I remember I hadn't been saved. I probably wasn't even a month or more. And I was down and I started just praising God. And he started giving me this little song. My God is wonderful. Oh, he is marvelous. He's all my soul shall need. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's all that I can see. And he gave me that little song. He's given me some little ones since. But I just remember that when I was just praising him and worshiping him, and I could just so feel his presence in this little song.
Praise the Lord.
Started. And he's proving it more and more as time has went on in him that he is all
right.
That I need. And he's given us a place, like you said, that all our eye can see. And the Alpha, he's the beginning. He's the end. He is all that I can see.
I was going to tell you, my mom passed away on the floor. She was on the floor, laying on the mm-hmm. floor. And I told Debbie, I went down to the basement. I was down there, oh, it's probably maybe a month later. We had these chairs set about almost identical place right below her.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, honey, come down here. She come down there. I said, sit in that chair next to me. She sat in that chair. I said, close your eyes. She go, oh. I said, what? She said, I feel your mom right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. You know, I mean, even the fireman said, I feel like you got something to say. I said, yeah. I said, she's been praying for the last hour that God would come and take her home. He goes, yeah. I said, that's what happened. She's happy, therefore I'm happy. He looked at his partner and said, they were getting ready to shock her. He said, turn that off. Put his arm around me, walked outside. He said, I don't know how to say it. I said, say it how you feel it. He said, your mother must have been a hell of a woman. And I smiled at him and said, because he meant that for good. Yes. I said, well, first of all, she still is. For whosoever believeth in me, though they be dead, yet they're alive.
Did you say that to him?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you know, that's the opportunity that God has given us to give the people that don't know.
Yes.
I mean, will he ever forget that? He might. You know, I had my heart operated on.
I don't believe that, because you wouldn't have spoken for it.
I had my heart operated on, and I had the doctor sent me down again because he thought something was wrong with me. And the same people that operated on me was going to operate on me again. I said, how you guys doing? Okay. Thinking like, well, you remember me? They go, sir, we've had thousands. I said, I'll say a few words and you'll remember me immediately. The guy said, okay, go ahead and say them. I said, am I the only one in this room hopes this is a success so I can have surgery again tomorrow?
He said, we do remember you.
Because, see, God gives you that so you can speak it forth so their memory will come back and they'll go like this, hey.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, we do remember you. I said, yeah.
Yes.
Well, anyway, my parting words were, he's raising up in his house again.
Oh, yes.
And again and again and again. Amen. But today we should celebrate him raising.
Amen.
I think I put on my check, I always put out, he lives. Mm-hmm. But I put down something about, he's alive.
Mm. Amen.
And he is.
He is. Praise the Lord.
You want to pray, Brenda?
Yes, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Yes, he lives. Yes, you live, Father. You're living within each and one of us. Father, you're living in whole creation, oh God. How we thank you, Jesus, that you gave yourself in our place, oh God, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, oh God. We give you the praise,
amen.
Oh God. Great Resurrection Day, we give you the praise, oh God. We thank you. We thank you, oh God. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.